the best product since sliced bread, or a house of mirrors? Or could they be both? I am Rob West. Well, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and one man's trash is another man's treasure. So which of those are annuities? I'll talk about it today with Mike Miller. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always great to have my friend Mike Miller on the program. Mike is a partner and senior private wealth advisor at the South Carolina office of Ronald Blue Trust. He's also a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. And Mike, it's great to have you back with us.
Oh, it's always good to be with you, Rob. I just appreciate what you and your team and of course, the sponsors. We have to have them to put this great information. I mean, people just crave information that's not tainted with sales.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I know it's fun to have a fellow broadcaster on the program. You've been in this space of biblical finance on the airwaves for a long time, so I'm delighted we get to chat today. Mike, as you might imagine, we constantly get calls about annuities, despite the fact I've made it no secret that I'm not a fan in most cases. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. You knock one down, another one pops up. So I guess we should maybe take an objective look at annuities, and maybe to start, we can tackle this first question, and that is, what is the main problem with any investment that guarantees returns? And that would include annuities.
Well, number one rule, guarantees cost something.
Yeah.
There's always trade-offs. I had a radio listener that called some years ago that said, I just don't like annuities because I don't like the idea of paying someone else just to give me my money back.
Yeah.
And I've seen that way too many times where somebody really thought they were going to get X return, and then it ended up being hardly anything that they got. And some are better than others, of course, but sure. You really have to understand what kind of cost those guarantees really are.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's always a cost with a guarantee. That's takeaway number one. Let's look at this through a biblical lens. I know you approach everything you do that way. We, of course, won't find the word annuities in the Bible, but perhaps there's a biblical principle involved with investing in annuities. What would that be?
Well, we've all heard of most people have heard of the parable of the talents. So you had in Matthew 25, where the master is leaving, and he gives one 5, one 2, and one 1. It's interesting that he says, I gave it to them each according to his ability, which is important to know. And then in verse 25, he says, you know, when he comes back and speaking to the one who had the one talent that hid it in the ground and didn't do anything with it, why did you do that? Well, I was afraid. And went away and hid your talent in the ground. So I think that's a key thing that when it comes to annuities, many times they are sold from a fear side. We're fearful of this. So we ended up really maybe not being the best steward because of that fear.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned being sold an annuity, and that's, I think, one of the key points we need to look at, because when I get calls about annuities, it's not because somebody's saying, I think I need one of these. It's because somebody has told them they need one of these. So perhaps what should folks ask themselves when someone tries to sell them an annuity?
Man, you're absolutely right. They are always sold. I don't know anybody that ever just bought one. They're sold. So I'd think through questions like, well, does the salesman have other options, or it's annuities or nothing. Yeah. So if that's all they have, well, then, you know, you're going to fit any square peg and round hole, whatever. You know, it's not always going to be the right thing. Are they trying to get you to put a large portion of your money in it? So that's a huge red flag. I mean, because you ought to diversify. Even if you end up getting an annuity, I've seen too many people that put these large chunks in just one annuity. They don't even diversify by different types of annuities, which they should. And another one is, does it feel like the person's selling something because they're up for a contest and they're really trying to win a contest? I think you can sense that sometimes. Like, okay, that's really, they're selling it. They want you to buy it for them, not for you.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And so we need to unpack this, Mike, and just around the corner, we'll actually take a step back and really ask you to describe the three basic types of annuities. We'll look at both fixed as well as the variable and the indexed annuities, and then the two phases associated with those, both the accumulation and the distribution. We'll talk about the pros and cons. We'll even look at some of these riders, specifically around the area of generating income. In a volatile market, we have a lot of interest in annuities. So what do you need to know, and are they the right solution for you? Mike Miller with us today. Mike is partner and senior private wealth advisor at the South Carolina office of Ronald Blue Trust, and much more to come just around the corner. Stick around. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Letter writing is fascinating. Not just the slow process of sharing your heart with another, only to wait for them to reciprocate, but how you know where a letter is from the second you see it. In the ancient world, it was wax, melted wax put on folded paper and then pressed with a unique seal. Further back, it was soft clay wrapped around a tablet and marked with a distinctive seal. The wax, the clay, could have been anyone's, but once pressed, it was marked. My mind goes to Paul. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, marked, sealed by the renewing of your mind. We were his wax. By Christ, he marked us as his own. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today is Mike Miller. Mike is partner and senior private wealth advisor at the South Carolina office of Ronald Blue Trust. He's a certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor. And today we're talking about annuities. What do you need to know? And perhaps are they the right solution for you, or do you need to stay away? Mike, as we continue to unpack this, perhaps we ought to really bring some definition to annuities for those that maybe aren't familiar with these products or they're confused. So perhaps start with the three basic types.
Yeah, my sister was being sold or tried to be sold an annuity down in Florida, and she called and asked me about it. And I first question, I said, well, what kind is it? Well, I don't know, she said. So people don't know what they have. So the fixed annuity, the variable, which is the most basic, and then a variable, and then an indexed annuity, which is probably, last I saw, the most popular one that's being sold the most. And they all, you know, kind of have accumulation part where you accumulate at different rates, and then they all have different kinds of ways to distribute those funds once you retire or whenever you want to take out the money.
Yeah, exactly. And so obviously in a market like this, Mike, when we're seeing a lot of downward pressure and the prospect of a recession looming and folks are seeing their 401ks decline, perhaps they maybe were allocated slightly aggressively for their age towards stocks and they're close to retirement. This can seem attractive for somebody in that position, right?
Oh, obviously, yeah. When things go down, they think, oh, I need to do something that prevents this. If they had invested properly where they were in really income phases, where they kept some conservative money for the first couple years of needs and then had a little more aggressive money, some bonds or something like that for the second phase of income needs, and then the long-term money was in that part that's the most volatile in stocks and so forth, where they knew that was long-term money, then the ups and downs is still not fun, but it still shouldn't bother you as much because it's money you're really confident that you're not going to need for 8 to 10 years plus.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, well, you mentioned the three types of annuities, fixed, variable, and indexed. Let's talk about the fixed annuities first. Give us the pros and the cons.
Well, the fixed annuities actually have gotten some more pros now. And as we hear the Fed increasing interest rates, keep in mind that that positively affects things like money markets and fixed annuities because these companies can start paying higher interest rates. And when you look at any annuity, whether it's a fixed, a variable, or indexed, you want to look really at what are the guarantees. I mean, that's what you're buying it for, the guarantees. So it's nice to see these fixed rates going up to where it's unfortunately, they don't do like they used to do in my early years of my career where they would say, I'm going to give you a 5% guarantee for the life of the contract. Now it's probably 5%, but it's for 3 years or 5 years or something like that. So that's a big positive. There's usually a higher guarantee in fixed annuities than there is in the other types of annuities.
Okay. And what are the downsides?
Well, downside would been when interest rates fluctuate, it goes down. So up to until the last year or so, the downside was you get nothing if you invest in one. And now you get something for it, but it's going to be limited for 5 years. So the restrictions, of course, you have with all annuities applies to fixed as well as the indexed and the variable. If you try to get it out earlier than the surrender period allows you to, you're going to be penalized a lot. So there's definitely a liquidity risk in all annuities. Matter of fact, there's a people don't like to hear this, but there's a guaranteed loss with annuities. As long as there's a surrender charge, that's a guaranteed loss. You can't get all of your money out without a big charge. And a lot of the agents will come back and say, oh, yeah, but you don't really need that money. You're not planning on touching it. Well, my comeback to that is, well, then why don't you invest it the same place the insurance company's investing it? And yeah, it's going to go down some. It might look like it's lost its value, but it's going to come back because you don't need it because you're not going to touch it. If you touch it when it's down, of course, you lose. But if you don't, hey, it comes back up.
Yeah, helpful. All right, you talked about fixed annuities. Let's move to indexed annuities. You mentioned that these perhaps, at least now, are sold more than the other two. What should folks know about indexed annuities?
Well, you really need to understand the guarantee. The proposal that you get typically with an indexed annuity agent is one that shows the zero downside if the market's down. And then they'll show you past history of what the annuity would have done had it earned a certain rate of return percentage of the markets over that time. But then you get back to, well, wait a minute, I'm trying to get away from that market risk. And now you're really telling me I'm not going to make money unless the market goes up. Yeah. So it's really have to understand really what that guarantee is, because there's a definite a lot of risk that you can't pay somebody 6-8% to sell you an annuity and not have it affect you someplace. You just don't see it. And the average person thinks when they read the brochures, oh, that looks great, but you know, it's not as good as it looks. It's kind of like cotton candy. It looks pretty good, but once you bite it, it's kind of gone.
All right. Let's move along to variable annuities. How do they work, Mike?
So variable annuities have better upside because you're actually investing in some mutual fund type accounts. So you can put them in growth stocks and things like that. They don't have the downside protection unless you buy one of those income riders that you can put on those. But that I call that more monopoly money than I call it anything else. But yeah, there's higher potential upside, but more potential downside as well.
Yeah. Anything else we need to know about those income riders you mentioned?
Well, the income riders are, be really careful when you're reading their material, because they'll give you like sometimes an upfront bonus or they'll say you're going to increase your account by 6%. But this is all typically in this income bucket. And the income bucket is different than your account bucket. The income bucket is not going to be available to you as a lump sum. It's going to have to come out to you over some period of time. And the ones I've looked at said, okay, I've accumulated for 10 years in my income bucket, then I'm going to take a 4 or 5% distribution for the next the rest of my life. Well, if you think about it, it's going to take you 20 years to get your money back. So if you were 65 when you started, you're 75 when you start the distribution, you're going to be 95, you know, when by the time you just get your money back. Well, how long are you going to live? So yeah, watch out. Think through some of those things and see what the guarantees really are.
Well, there's no question that annuities are complicated. So perhaps as we wrap up today, maybe you can simplify things a bit. Who should consider buying an annuity and who shouldn't?
I wish I could simplify that. it's not that easy to do. But, in most cases, I recommend folks just invest in the same types of investment that the insurance companies. You know, maybe it's a total bond index fund or something that's very inexpensive to get into. There's no commissions. That's what the insurance company is investing in. Probably 65% of their investments or 70% are in just high-quality long-term bonds. Yeah. And the other type of person that may need one, had a client years ago, this is probably 20 years ago or longer, when interest rates were actually higher then. And I had this one client that he needed to protect himself against himself. If he didn't have his money in something that was locked up, he was going to spend it all. So it's the only one in my whole career that I said, you need to buy an annuity and annuitize it so you get a monthly income so you don't spend it all. high tax rate taxpayers would be another one, because if they've maxed out the retirement, the IRA options, other retirement plans, they still need some tax deferral. This is a way to get some tax deferral and that get more benefit from it, because it's obviously accumulating tax deferred. It's not tax free, but it is tax deferred, and that could be a benefit. But I think for most people, there are better ways to get a guarantee.
I love it. Well, that's been really helpful, Mike. A wealth of information on annuities. Really grateful to have you stop by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me with you today, Rob. Go to TalkingMoneyRadio.com and you can learn more about annuities right there.
That's exactly right. If you want to learn even more, and we just scratched the surface, Mike's two-part podcast on the topic at TalkingMoneyRadio.com is just what you're looking for. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm a faithful listener.
Wherever you are, however you listen, we'd love to hear your AFR story.
I now believe, I actually do believe in Christ, and I'm just so grateful.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Have we encouraged your faith? Have we taught you something? Call today so we can do the same for others. That's 877-876-8893.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio. We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
You know, we need to find our true identity in Christ, not in money. When our identity is in Christ, we understand that it's Jesus, our hope of glory, not what we do or what we have, that really is our true identity. Colossians 1:27 tells us that, to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're taking your cues from this world and you're finding your identity in the temporal, the here and the now, I would encourage you to really think and pray deeply about what it looks like to find your true identity in Christ, because it's not about what you do or what you have. And there's no need for pride or shame or comparison. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So perhaps we need to renew our minds with a biblical worldview of how we think about and manage his money. Hey, we'd love to hear from you today on Faith and Finances. I'm Rob West. Before we head back to the phones, you might be thinking about your spending plan. That's right. Maybe last month the budget didn't work out quite as well as you had hoped, especially with costs up across the board. And you're thinking, you know what? Now's the time for me to put a plan in place to control the flow of money in and out, so I can make sure that it's going to the places that I intended to, as a reflection of my values and my priorities, not just because I'm kind of winging it along the way. Well, having a spending plan and a control system is really critical, and the FaithFi app can help you do just that based on the tried and true envelope system. Our modern digital smartphone app, FaithFi, will let you set up your budget and control all of your expenses, making sure you know exactly what's in each of those digital envelopes at any point during the month, so you can make course corrections as necessary. So check it out. You can learn more at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app and you can read all about it. All right, let's head back to the phones to Idaho. Hey, Ken, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. My wife and I need your help to get a plan of attack to pay down our mortgage before retirement. My wife is 64 years old. I'm 60 years old. We have $120,000 balance between mortgage and auto. And under normal circumstances, we'd have another 17 years to pay this off. Again, my wife's 64, so I want to get her in a position to retire as quickly as possible, and yeah, I'll hang on there and pay off all the debt that I can myself, obviously. We do have roughly $700,000 in investments. My first question is, how do we optimize our attack on this debt, and when is the optimal time for us to take our Social Security payments?
Yes, that's a great question. You know, as we look at this, I love, first of all, this goal that you have to be completely debt-free just as quick as you can. You know, that's going to go a long way to keeping your expenses low, so that whatever income sources you have, you're just taking some pressure off of those by eliminating this largest expense, your mortgage. So I think this is certainly a great goal to have. You mentioned roughly $160,000 between the car and the home. What's the breakdown on those?
It's actually $110,000 on the mortgage and another $10,000 on the vehicle.
On the car. Okay, got it. Yes. And on your current payoff, how many years are left on the mortgage if you just continue going like you are now?
17.
17 years. All right. And when are you planning, when would you like to have this paid off? What is your target in terms of the number
of
years?
The biggest thing is as soon as possible for my wife's sake, because I know once she's out of the picture, I'll have to try to make up the difference on what we would normally be getting for a salary. So
yeah,
I'm not going to hold her back whatsoever, but I just want to optimize our opportunities.
No doubt. And how many years, just based on your current plans, and I realize that could change, is she planning to continue to work where you'd have this dual income?
Like I said, she's 64. I have not, I don't want to pin her down I just want her when she feels she needs to tap out, she can tap out and start enjoying retirement. So
sure.
It could be 6 months. It could be 2 years. I don't know for sure.
Okay. But just based on your intuition as her husband, just as you see kind of how draining it is and versus life giving and so forth. I mean, do you kind of get the sense that she's ready or do you feel like there's still a little more runway here?
I think there's a little more runway. I would think if everything works out, probably a couple more years, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And I appreciate the fact you don't want to try to kind of force her into staying longer than she wants to and God has called her to, and perhaps especially if he's redirecting her to something else. But part of the planning process is just saying, okay, based on everything we know today, after praying about it and thinking about what's most important to us as a couple and where God's taking us, here's at least where we think we're headed, and then we can plan around that. And of course, we write that in the sand because we, you know, wash it away and start over as things change. What kind of surplus do you have right now, Ken, after all the bills are paid, that you could apply toward debt reduction?
I believe I figured it out, probably about $1,600 margin every month.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a healthy surplus that you have there, and perhaps if you buckle down a little bit more, seeing these 2 years as really an optimal time to kind of tighten the belt a little bit and focus on dumping as much debt as you can. I mean, clearly, I'd go after that car, and the nice thing is that, you know, 6 months down the road, or seven at the most, that car is gone, and now you've got that car payment on top of this, and maybe now we've got $2,000 a month, and then we can add that to the house. And I think the key is to recognize this isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time. But if you're throwing $2,000 at the house every month, I mean, you're going to have it paid off, maybe not by retirement, but shortly after. And, you know, that's a good thing. The other option would be to tap into some of these investments. And I think that's something to consider as well if this is a really high priority. So let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's finish this on the other side. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, taking your calls and questions. Well, it looks like all the lines are full, so sit back and enjoy. We have some great questions coming up. Just before the break, we were talking to our friend Ken in Idaho, and he's wondering the best time to start taking Social Security. He's got about $110,000 left on a mortgage, another $10,000 on a car loan. His wife's perhaps 2 years away from retirement. They'd like to have all of that debt paid off by that time, another $700,000 in 401ks, and he's also going to start taking a military retirement health care, what's called TRICARE, as well. Ken, I think the key is if we could get that car paid off, if you have $1,600 a month in surplus, let's say that's gone in 4 months. And now we can add a little bit to that. I mean, I just ran some quick calculations. Even if you didn't add anything to the mortgage, you could probably, with an extra $2,000 a month at a 4% interest rate, and I assume your rate's somewhere around there, with owing $110,000, with a 17-year mortgage, adding $2,000 a month to your current payment allows you to pay this off in about 4 years. Now, that's 2 years too long, so what do we do about that? Well, we've got a couple of options. One is you could bump up your income by taking Social Security. We'll talk about that in a moment. The other is we could kind of marry taking some from your assets alongside trying to do as much of the payoff through cash flow, the surplus, as you can, and sync it up such that, we pay this off right about the time she's retiring. So you're entering retirement with you still working, but dropping her income with, no debt. And now we just reduce the total monthly expense that you have. So I think that's probably the key. You could use any number of, extra mortgage payment calculators, or even work with your current mortgage servicer to determine exactly, what that schedule looks like, using 24 months as our goal to get it to zero, looking at the surplus you'll have, $1,600 today, $1,600 plus the car payment once the car is paid off. And then that'll tell you exactly how much you'd need to pull from your 401k to kind of cover the balance that you couldn't, take care of out of cash flow that extra couple of years that you don't have because you want your wife to be able to retire. And I think between the combination of those two, you'll enter retirement with still a very healthy nest egg in your 401k and completely debt-free, by taking this approach. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes perfect sense. That's awesome.
All right. Yeah, and then I think the question is, okay, so when do we take Social Security? And obviously, we'd like for you both to get to full retirement age at a minimum before you take it. So, she's still, maybe two and a half years away from that. So that might work out well. Maybe you start taking that right as she's entering retirement on her own work record, so that now as you drop her income, you're adding her Social Security. And then I'd let yours continue to grow. You obviously could take it at 62. You're still a couple of years away from that, but you're going to take about a 30% haircut on what you would get if you waited until full retirement age. So I'd try to kick that can down the road as long as you can and let that continue to build by about 8% a year.
Outstanding. That's perfect.
Okay. Very good.
One last real super quick follow-up. Is there any benefit to trying to leverage for biweekly payments, or would I be just better off throwing more money at the principal at this stage?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to that. I mean, I like biweekly if it allows you to get it done where you wouldn't be able to otherwise. So just for the sake of our audience's benefit, the biweekly plan says I send a half a payment to my mortgage every 2 weeks. Well, there's 26 two-week periods in a year, which means I end up sending 13 full payments or one extra per year. And if that's a way to kind of, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and, you know, you don't have a whole lot extra going with that every 2 weeks approach, if that allows you to send one extra payment a year where, you know, you typically wouldn't have an extra full payment just in the normal course of a month, then I'd say go for it. In your case, because you've got so much surplus and because you're laser focused on getting this paid off, I would just probably send one extra check or bump up your payment once a month with your normal payment. Make sure it's getting applied to principal, and you know, 9 times out of 10 cases it will, but I'd check on that by maybe pulling it up online and just make sure that that's where it went. But I don't see any reason to do the biweekly in your situation.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you, and thank you so much for your help.
All right. Absolutely, Ken. Hey, thanks for your service, my friend. We're grateful.
Thank you.
All right. Gina's in Cleveland. You're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. Yes. I just love the program and the advice and suggestions that you guys give. So I hope you have some good suggestions for me.
Well, I may be for today, Gina, but I'll give it my best try.
Okay. Well, I'm 66 in a couple of weeks, and I haven't, I've saved over the years, and so I really haven't been really good with money management and savings and all of that. So I have about maybe $25,000 in OPRs, and I have about $43,000 in savings, and I have about maybe $10,000, $10,500 in debt. And because I'm so close to retirement age, I am leery or uncomfortable with paying off the debt in its entirety. I do work full time, make about $60,000 a year. I'm not sure where to go. The $43,000 is just sitting in a traditional savings account. I don't know what to do. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah. So you've got $43,000 in a savings account, and then you have a retirement account on top of that with a balance of roughly how much?
It's not much. I haven't been there long. It's about $25,000.
Okay. All right. And are you planning on retiring soon?
Well, I was looking at like 68, the retirement age. I don't want to go to 70. I would like to enjoy like some retirement. You know, I'm in pretty good health. So what are you suggesting?
Well, yeah, I guess the first question is always, have we solved the underlying problem that led to the credit card debt in the first place? Because the last thing I'd want you to do is come in and wipe it out of savings, only to find that you call me back in 6 months and you say, guess what, Rob, the debt's back. And so we've got to make sure that you're living within your means and you're no longer building credit card debt. Do you feel like that you've resolved that?
I'm thinking about it so hard because I did like a loan to pay off the credit card debt, and then I paid the debt off and ended up bringing the debt back, and now I'm paying for the loan plus the debt.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to stay in that boat. I'm going to be meeting with a pastor at my church for some financial counseling.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I would do. Rather than paying it off out of savings, I don't want you to get into this cycle again. We need to make sure that we've kind of corrected the issue that led to this and we're not just treating the symptom. So I'd contact my friends at Christian Credit Counselors. Let's leave the debt right where it is. Those accounts will be closed. The interest rates will be lowered. And I think that'll help you get on the right track. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Stay on the line, Gina. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the Faith Fi app?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Gina in Cleveland. She's got about $40,000, $43,000 in savings. She's got $10,000 in credit card debt. She's still 5 years or so away from retirement. She'd like to get that credit card debt paid off, and she's wondering the best way to do that. She mentioned to me during the break that she was going to meet with somebody to work on some financial counseling just to try to rectify some of the things that have led to this debt in the past. The question is, how do we handle the payoff of this debt? And what I was saying before the break, Gina, was that I like the idea of you not coming in and wiping it out, especially since in the past when you've done that, you've had the new debt when you consolidated it, and then the credit card debt came back. And that is something I see very often if we don't treat the underlying problem, the overspending that led to the debt in the first place. So I like the idea of using a debt management program to get the interest rates down and pay it off that way, and Christian Credit Counselors can help. Plus, it would keep your $43,000 intact and allow you to go work on your budget, your spending plan, making sure you have, in fact, solved the overspending problems. But give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I like it. I'm thinking about it. So what, in addition to that, should I take about maybe $5,000 of it, put it in a money market account, or should I put it in a Roth so that it can at least start generating some type of interest or growth? Because in a traditional savings account, it's just earning a penny on a dollar or so.
Sure. Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that. What is your total monthly expenses, if you had to guess, on average?
Probably about $1,500 a month.
Okay. Let's say it's a little more than that. Let's say it's 2,000. I'd love for you to keep somewhere between, 6 and 12,000 in liquid savings, which means that you've got quite a bit more than that available that you could put to work. Now, your time horizon on this, in terms of when you're retiring, is only 5 years. But Lord willing, you're going to need this money to last a long, long time. What kind of retirement plan do you have available to you at work?
The OPRS.
Okay. And is that something you would fund through salary deferral, or is that just going to be there for you regardless?
It's something that's funded through salary.
Okay. And are you putting anything into that right now?
Just a few extra dollars. Out of pay.
Okay, so what you could do is you could systematically move money into that. Now, it has to go in through salary deferral, but if you bumped your salary deferral up significantly, I realize that would leave you with not enough in your paycheck, but you could offset that with the money you have in savings until it gets down to the level you're comfortable with, keeping that in liquid savings, and then you'd reduce the amount going into the OPRS. So that's a way, in a sense, to get the money going into a tax-deferred environment where it can grow without the drain of the taxes, but where you've already got it, in a savings account, you would, systematically kind of replace the money in savings with the money in OPRS by bumping that salary deferral up and then pulling from the savings to offset what you've put in so you can cover your bills. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying that increase the payments in OPRS, and then use what I don't have to cover my monthly expenses from my savings.
That's exactly right. Now, we wouldn't want to go below, I would say, $12,000 in your savings. But until that point, yes, this would get a lot more going into the OPRS plan, allow you to drain down the savings to, make up for what you are now putting into retirement that you weren't previously. And now it's all in a tax deferred environment. So as long as you continue to work, it's growing without the drag of the taxes. And in fact, you get a deduction as it goes in, and then it grows tax deferred. So I think that could be a great option for you. And then for the amount that stays in savings while you're drawing it down, and then what's ultimately going to stay there indefinitely, I'd move that to an online savings account. So at least you can get 3.5-4% interest while you're waiting on that liquid portion. So hopefully that helps you. We appreciate your call today. I know you've got a lot going on here, but you can do this, Gina, and I'm glad we could be of some help to you. God bless you. All right, let's head to Chicago. Hi, Tammy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
Yes, I've been saving up to pay off my auto loan, and I wanted to know, instead of saving up a lump sum, is it better just to pay an extra payment each month, or which would be the better solution?
Yeah, so you're trying to pay off your car loan. How much do you owe on this, Tammy?
$7,000, and I have like $3,500 saved up.
Okay, so you owe $7,000. You've got $3,500 saved up. Is this in addition to what I would call your emergency fund?
Yes.
Okay, all right, and so this money is really set aside specifically for the car, the $3,500.
That's what I'm saving it for. Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I think for that reason, assuming you've got your emergency fund separate, I'd go ahead and send it along to the car, loan, pay that down by $3,500. Now you only owe another $3,500. And then as you have surplus every month, I'd, just go ahead and send that on top of the payment. And let's just get this paid off as quick as you can. And then as soon as you do, obviously, now you have the full car payment available for whatever your priorities are, whether that's continuing to fund it, the next car purchase with a savings account, so you're paying cash next time, or maybe you're, directing it to something else. But I think if you've got the money earmarked for debt reduction, you might as well go ahead and send it along now and get this paid off as quick as you can.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Tammy. We appreciate your call today. Let's head to Wheaton, Illinois. Dave, I understand you have a testimony. Tell us what's going on in your life.
Thanks, Rob. I just want to, long-time listener, I didn't know when this day would come, but today it came and I made my last house payment. I am debt-free.
Dave.
It is such a relief. And if you don't have a plan, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Dave, I'm so glad we could celebrate this with you. That is absolutely incredible. Congratulations. I can imagine that that feels really good that you were able to make that payment. You now own your home free and clear. And perhaps if you have a fireplace tonight, you're enjoying a fire there in Wheaton, maybe you toss that last statement in and celebrate the fact that you don't owe anybody anything with regard to your home. It's that deed is now fully in your name, unencumbered, and that's a great place to be. Because here's the thing. It's not just about being able to say, well, I'm debt-free. It's really about being free to serve the Lord. Because when we pursue Him and we're unencumbered, we have the ability to say, Lord, I'm ready to live or die, give or go. And wherever you're going to lead me, I'm going to follow. And this gives you a much more flexibility to do that as you pay off that house. Dave, if you were to summarize perhaps some of the principles you learned listening, I assume all the way back to Larry Burkett and even in recent days, what's allowed you to get to this point where you sent your last mortgage payment today?
I tithe first.
Okay.
And I follow a budget.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds simple, but it's not, you know, there's a lot of folks listening saying, I would love to be doing that, and unfortunately, I'm not. But you had a plan, you've stuck to your plan, and you prioritize giving. And I think that's absolutely the right approach. And I suspect this was pretty important to you, and you made some sacrifices along the way to make it happen. Is that right?
Well, certainly you've got to set your priorities, and the Lord is first. And when you have a good partner, they can be an encouragement to you, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I'm so delighted to hear that, Dave. Listen, congratulations. All the best to you. And I'm so thrilled that you called to celebrate this with us today. I know what you shared will be an encouragement to others that are on the same track and praying and hoping to be right where you are in the days ahead. God bless you, my friend. And thanks for joining us. Let's head to Cleveland. Steve, you'll help us round out the program here today. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, so I have like $700,000 in my savings or my financial planner account. How do I go about getting that money, like, sent to me on a monthly basis?
Yeah. So what type of account is this, Steve? Do you know? Is it an IRA or a taxable account?
It's an IRA and a 401k.
Okay. All right. And so is your advisor managing both or just the IRA?
He's managing both. But then I also have some with my work account. So
okay, all right. And have you separated from your employer, or are you still working?
I'm still working.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, it would be as simple as just calling your advisor and saying, listen, number one, you know, I need you to know I need to start drawing from this account to supplement my income. And basically, they'll just set up a monthly either electronic transfer or a check to be cut every month and sent directly to you. And the total of those distributions every year is going to be added to your taxable income. And your advisor will manage the money accordingly, both with regard to the investment mix, making sure that it's not overly aggressive, given your stage of life and the fact that you're moving from capital appreciation to capital income and distribution, where the money is now coming out to you, but also to make sure that there's enough in the cash portion of the account to be able to fund that monthly distribution. And that's a very common thing. They'll be ready for that. So I think this just entails a conversation with your advisor about what you're needing to do. They'll get that set up. They do it every day. And every month on a certain day, you'll have that show up in your account and you'll be all set. We appreciate your call today, my friend. God bless you. Folks, so glad to have you along with us today. I couldn't do this without my amazing team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry today, serving me with great research. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great weekend. Come back and join us on Monday. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.